Muchas gracias, misionero Miguel Bermúdez Marín. Que Dios te siga bendiciendo grandemente.
Thank you very much, missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín. May God continue to bless you greatly. And may you continue seeing the glory of God being manifested in this end time. And also all the ministers and all the brethren. And may we continue seeing the glory of God. May we continue receiving His blessings. And may that glory reach such an extent in each chosen one of God that transforms us. My petition for you, missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín, and for all the ministers and all the brethren on the entire face of the earth who have received the glory of God at this end time. Because the promise is that we will enter into the promised land of the new body, that we will enter into the promised land of the glorious millennial kingdom. It is a promise, and He will fulfill it. And there is a people who believes it. And that is the important thing. Where is that people? Here is a part of that people. And in all of Latin America and the whole world where they have received the glory of God, which God is manifesting as He promised. Because He said, I saw the pillar of fire there, talking with someone above where I was. If he saw it, that was because it was going to be there. And we are seeing it. We are hearing it. And we are receiving everything that that pillar of fire is telling us. And around that word, notice what happened with Sarah and Abraham. They were rejuvenated. At some point you will say, hey, but these people around here, who are they? We can then be seeing that dimension already. And who are those young people? And when they laugh in a certain way, when they talk in a certain way, hey, but don't you remember me? I was the one who was with you doing this and that. Yes, it is you. But why are you so young? Hey, young man or young lady, look at you. You're not falling behind. Look at you. But what happened here? For it will be something so fast, and we will fully enter to receive those blessings that are contained in that promised land, which is the eternal body. Then we will be in the marriage supper of the Lamb while everything is being prepared here, where the earth will go through all those stages to come back for the honeymoon. And after the honeymoon, Revelation says at the end that final judgment then will come. The earth will be renewed and all that, and that new Jerusalem will emerge. And then we will return to reign for all eternity. Notice that the great blessings that God has for us. So, it is worth it. It's worth to continue holding on to the word, to the ark. It is worth the effort. Because it's not easy. It will not be easy. But what did God tell Joshua there? I will only tell you one thing. Be strong and of good courage. See? In order to enter the land He had promised, there was a requirement. You had to be strong and of good courage. So let us continue making an effort and being courageous to conquer that promise, which has been promised and which God will fulfill. Because it is for our time. It's not for another generation nor for another time, but for our time. It is for me. And for you as well, is for all of us. And notice today's message, today's subject, which is a subject in which He speaks to us about those new heavens and new earth, where He used there the scripture of Isaiah chapter 66, verse 22, and notice on verse 18, where he tells us on this book of Isaiah, "For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory." And he draws a cornerstone in the ages, and an arrow toward the cornerstone. Where would the nations see the glory? In the age of the cornerstone. And see my glory. And in verse 22, "For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall you seed and your name remain." New heavens and new earth. This message was preached on May 27, 2012, here in Cayey, Puerto Rico, by our beloved brother, William Soto Santiago. You may please be seated. In the message, the seventh seal and the workers of restoration, preached on March 21st, 1998, in Brazil, he tells us, "The sign of the new earth of the promised land is the Son of Man." Which is the sign of the new earth of the promised land? He says that is the Son of Man. Without seeing that sign, there is no promised land to enter into it. There is no new body, nor millennium, nor millennial kingdom to enter into it. Notice how important that sign is. The sign of the Son of Man with his angels. The sign of the promised land is the Son of Man. It is the coming of the Son of Man with his angels for this end time. And the sign of the harvest, of the reaping of the end of the world, is the angels of the Son of Man. Wherever the fulfillment of the sign of the Son of Man is manifested, also the angels of the Son of Man will be there, the ministries of Moses and Elijah, and also the ministry of the Son of Man, the ministry of Jesus, testifying of all these things which must shortly come to pass in the book of the seals. On page 63, he tells us just what God said. Take him at his word. God hides himself now in simplicity, in a humble little bunch. But one of these days, he'll manifest himself. And there he draws a cornerstone in the ages, and an arrow toward the cornerstone. Where will he manifest himself? In the cornerstone. Where will the manifestation of the Son of Man will be seen? In the cornerstone. But one of these days, he will manifest himself as he always has in the days passed by. How has he done it in past ages? God in a veil of flesh. God in an instrument. In the message, Christ is revealed in his own word. it tells us on page 36, it says, now, we take that now and compare it over with Malachi 4. He promised that there would be light coming in the evening time. See? For behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet, and he will restore the children back to the fathers, and the fathers to the children. Is that right? Lest I come. And he writes, with Moses and Elijah, and smite the earth with a curse. And he writes, the plagues. And he also writes, in the great tribulation. Notice, below he also writes there, the days begin and end in the evening, at sunset, and so does every dispensation, dispensational day. Now let us continue. Now let us take John or Luke 17:30 and watch what Jesus prophesied there, saying that as it was in the days of Sodom, it will be the same. Now remember, notice, this is at the time that the Son of Man, and he writes the Holy Spirit in a prophet, this is at the time that the Son of Man would be revealed, the revealing of the Son of Man. Now, the Son of Man was actually revealed potentially just for a few moments there, just before Sodom was burnt. Now, that man was Elohim, that was God, and Jesus is God, and God was revealed potentially right there for a few moments to talk to Abraham. In the investigation, judgment, just for a little bit, the Son of Man was revealed. The Son of Man, Elohim. Do you see it, church? The Son of Man, Elohim, was revealed just for a few minutes. For the very next morning, she was burned. When? Before the sun could come up again. And he writes, in Israel. So there can't be no organization left. Neither can there be any further advancement than what's going right now. For she'll burn. And he writes, before the millennial day. For she'll burn before the day breaks again. And he writes, the sun in the east. Then he writes, Sodom and Gomorrah was burnt in the morning before sunrise. The revival is over across the nation, USA, that is, United States. There ain't going to be no more revivals. Then he writes, in USA. That is in the United States. Big sweeping revivals. This nation never receive it. You might have an intellectual gathering, but I mean a spiritual revival. We've seen it, all of it. And he writes, for USA, that is for the United States. The revival is over. I hope you're catching it. I'm saying it in such a way that I hope you get it, see? It's over. A fine minister said a while ago, said, Brother Branham, if I could just have the joy of the Lord in my heart. I said, Son, the revival is over, see? Now, the stabilizer has been put on the ship. Great fearful waves are out here before us. But we know, just beyond that wave yonder, we are nearing the shore, see? We are nearing the shore. Just stay stable. Just stay in the Word. Stay with God. No matter how you feel, what anything else, stay right with the Word. There He draws a cornerstone and the ages below. Let it stable. When you see all these great big old clouds around us and storms coming and atomic bombs and everything else they're talking about, there He writes, atomic bombs. But our stabilizer is right straight in the Word. God said it would be here. We'll crest every one of them. Yep. We'll go right over the top of them. And He writes, the waves. And He writes below, the gates to the promised land will open. And an arrow, and there He draws a cornerstone and the ages. Yes, indeed. They can't sink us. They can't drown us. You put us in the grave, we'll come out again. That's just all there is to it. There ain't no way in the world to keep it down there. We'll crest every one of them, 'cause our great chief captain is calling at the other side. And also in the message, souls that are in prison now, there He tells us, on page 39, this is one of the messages that our brother William told us in a message, and I believe we also gave it out here. It is good for you to have it. Like the Feast of the Trumpets, Christ is the mystery of God revealed, the third Exodus, the unveiling of God, the mighty God unveiled before us. And those messages that there He recommended us to have. Notice on page 39, it tells us, and notice when the third pull of the ministry come, the first was healing the sick. The second was rebuking the organizations and prophesying what they had done, what they were, and what was coming. That's what He done. Is that right? But His third pull was when He preached to the lost that could not be saved no more. They were down there where the big painted eye was. Preach to the souls in hell that did not accept mercy, but were eternally separated from the presence of God. But yet, they had to recognize it, what he was, because God made him there. And there he draws a Star of David. And above he writes, in the third pool, they had to recognize him. Wonder if his ministry climbs out the same way in the last days as it was? As the Father sent me, so send I you. The works that I do shall you also. Lost could never be saved. They have rejected mercy. That was his third pool. Now, is there any questions? His first pool. He healed the sick. Is that right? His second ministry, he was prophesying. His third ministry was preaching to the eternal lost. The three mountains. First peak. In the Book of Quotations. Let us see here a minute. On page 102, paragraph 879. Notice the first peak. The first two peaks were small. Then the third peak, first pool. Then another small peak. Then a high peak, second pool. Then a small peak, then another high peak, the third pool. And notice that the first high peak would be number 3. The second high peak would be number 5. And the third high peak would be number 7. Now, the peaks were covered in snow. The three mountains, so forth, the lost eternal. I'm in souls that are in prison now. Noah's ministry, all ministries done the same. Noah preached. That's exactly right. He went into the ark. And when he went into the ark, there were 7 days. And he writes, the 7 thunders. There were 7 days that nothing happened. And he writes, in the 7 perfect ages. His testimony preached to the doomed. Sodom and Gomorrah. Jesus referred to both of them as coming. Before the coming of the Son of Man, so shall it be like the days of Noah, so shall it be like in the days of Sodom. He referred to Noah. Noah had three pools, and his third was to the lost after the door was shut. 4. God let it sit right there where nobody could enter or go out. They were inside. 4. As on the seventh mountain, the highest mountain. That's where he settled the ark mountain. See? That's right. And he writes, the coming of the Son of Man. And there he draws a Star of David where it says, and there's where 7 days. That is in the previous paragraph where I read that part from. And there were 7 days, and he draws a Star of David, and he writes, silence, Revelation 8:1. The highest mountain, that's where he settled the ark. And on the left there, he draws a Star of David on that paragraph. And he writes, the seventh mountain equals the third pool. And he draws a cornerstone in the ages. In the days of Sodom, the first pool was the righteous lot. And the Bible said, the sins of Sodom vexed his righteous soul daily. How them women acted and done. You remember, as it was in the days of Noah, what was they doing? Eating, drinking, marrying, giving marriage. Women, see, women. What was it in the days of Sodom? Women. And the first message was Lot. They laughed him to scorn. Then they sent another messenger, two of them, and they went down. That was his second pull for Lot, for Sodom. But look, at that one that went last, there's more and more mercy. It was all over then, all over at that time. That third messenger that went out there, the third pool. What was he? What kind of ministry did he have? He said with the elected and told them what was taking place behind him. That's right. But when he stepped off into Babylon or into Sodom, he wanted to find. And he writes, Elohim went down to Sodom. He wanted to find even Abraham crying. If I could find 50 righteous, on down to 10 righteous. Now, notice that when he sat with Abraham, and after everything with Sarah happened, it's like he was going to leave. And he said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm going to do? He stayed talking with Abraham. And notice here how it says that Abraham was begging him. Abraham was asking for Lot. He was his family. And if there is a time when the elect of God have been asking for their families, is today. And they have been begging the Lord for their family. If I could find 50 righteous, on down to 10 righteous, God said, yes, find 10 righteous. And he writes, in the Gentile world. Now notice, if we counted Lot and his wife, his daughters, and his sons-in-law, end. We counted Abraham, Sarah, and we counted the people who were with Abraham. God would have not destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. But since it was not that Abraham should go to Sodom and be counted there. Rather, it was Lot who should have been with Abraham to be counted among Abraham's people. And notice that in this end time, because of the chosen ones of God, the patience of God has been extended. And when God takes the elect off of this earth, notice, there will not be even one, because the elect will not go through the great tribulation. Therefore, by God removing them from this earth, the divine judgment has to come. And even though there may be family members who will go through the tribulation, they will not be lost. Lot was not lost. Lot represents the foolish. Now notice the importance of that cry out, that plea for Abraham to Elohim for his family. The same thing Sister Hattie Wright said to him. She said, but I'm of a certain age. My sister is in that condition. Perhaps I'm going through a need, see? She has so many things to ask for. But what she asked for was going to transcend. It was then something that she was going to have and obtain as her inheritance, her family. Now, he says, God said, yes, find 10 righteous. Let me tell you something, sister. Just a minute. You might be old-fashioned, but you got something these sex queens hasn't got. You've got something that she can never have. Right. You might be old-fashioned in your dressing, dress up like a lady. They may say, look at that old holy roller. Don't you worry. She's got something that little old sex queen that's got all the world looking at her out there. She hasn't got it. She can never have it. She's lost eternally. She is doomed, see? You got moral. You got virtue. She's got nothing. She's got a bait that traps the lost souls into hell. The blind walk into it. Now, you've got something. You know, you might not be even on a church book, but it might be your righteous life that's holding the wrath of God from the world today. The world won't believe it. You women that's called holy rollers, you little men that don't hardly know anything, but you cry to God day and night for the sins of this country. You might be the one that's holding off the wrath. If I can find 10, I'll spare it. If I can find 10, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be. See what I mean? Not if I can find 10 Methodists, if I can find 10 Baptists, if I can find 10 Pentecostals, if I can find 10 athletes, if I can find 10 senators, if I can find 10 ministers, but if I can find 10 righteous, there is one righteous, that's Christ. Christ living in one. Them 10, see? I'll spare it. But that last messenger preached to the doomed. He went down there. Scripture don't say what happened. But the fire fell the next morning, right? After he performed those signs. Immediately after he performed his prophecy ministry. Why did Sarah laugh? There he writes, Christ left USA, that is, the United States. And he also writes, the last messenger preached to those who could not be saved. Equals, it is the third pool with the angel of Jesus. She said, I didn't. Said, yes, you did, see? Now, immediately after that, he entered Babylon or went down into Sodom. There he writes, the fire fell in the early morning. Into Sodom. He never found them, so the fire fell. He found Lot and his two daughters, said, get out of here right now. See? He went out. He went down there. Notice, that is the call that the denominational world will hear. Come out of Babylon, my people, and do not be partakers of her sins. He went down there. Remember, he, and he writes Elohim, he was on his road down. He sent messengers before him. And he writes, Granham and Roberts. But he went down himself, right, to find out if all these things were so. They are represented in those people. The ministries are. And he found it full of what? And he writes, Elohim went down to Sodom. He also wrote that there. What did he find on the city? Painted face women. The message to the doomed. That is why he told us that if he did not return, the people would have to go through the tribulation. He was going to find the people in that condition. But thanks to God, that work was carried out of taking the title deed and bringing it to earth and giving it to a man. And having that stage to prepare the bride for the rapture. He found the world like that. And a people as they were could not make the rapture. What they do? Laughed at it. What do they do today? The same thing. I belong to the assemblies. I belong to the oneness. I've danced in the spirit. Glory to God. I speak in... All right, go ahead. I'll cut my hair if I want to. I'll do this. I'll just say this. I don't have to be baptized in Jesus' name. I don't care what said. Paul is an old woman hater. Anyhow, that's all right. Go ahead. One of these days, if you haven't already, you'll cross that line. You'll never desire no more to do what's right. Did you hear what I said? It's a matter. Brother, sister, do you realize what's been said? You'll cross that line, and you'll never want to do it. You'll still hear the gospel, sure, but you'll never accept it. You can't accept it. Then he writes there, the lost. But the gospel will be preached to the doomed. Those that are eternally lost can't get saved no more. You're already in that spot and don't know it. You think you're living in pleasure and dead while you're alive. Oh, listen. All those who rejected the message of the hour before doom, the gospel was preached to the doomed, first, before they went without mercy. And he writes, Revelation 10, 1-7. Look, which in the Book of the Seals on page 441 is of this same thing. Page 441, which is a scripture that we know. And notice that this message was the same year when he preached the seals. And there, Brother Branham told us what God's mercy would be for the last time. And what would be of those people who have been in meetings like this and spurn that mercy. But notice, he says that they have been preached first because God is just. And first comes the warning, like the message he preached, God doesn't call man to judgment without first warning him. First they are warned so that later on they won't say, I wasn't told anything. I was just following the message that was preached by the Reverend William Branham and what our brother William spoke to us. That will not be an excuse on Judgment Day. They are being told clearly, as our brother Miguel said. It will not get any clearer than that. They are being told clearly so that later on they will not say, I wasn't told anything. All those who rejected the message of the hour before doom, the gospel was preached to the doomed. First, before they went, without mercy. Noah, shut up, was a testimony, and he writes, silence for 7 days. God shut the door after his third pool. He writes, Noah, the door. And he draws a cornerstone on the edges and an arrow toward the cornerstone. After the third pool at Sodom, the door was shut. God shut the door after his third pool. After the third pool at Sodom, the door was shut. There was no more mercy. The tenth couldn't be found. After the third pool, that door of mercy for the last time, which God sent through the ministries of Moses and Elijah, will be shut. And the lost had the gospel preached that could not be saved, because it was just. Being that way in every age reject the message before judgment. Have they done it again? Is that appearing in a pillar of fire down here on the river? Is that appearing along in the message of cutting the women and throwing the place where it should be? And rebuking those ministers who take the place with the denomination instead of staying on the Word, when God has truly vindicated that it's Him and not some poor, ignorant, unlearned thing like a man? It is God. And have we now come to the spot that the third pool will return again to the lost eternally? And he writes, third pool. And he draws a cornerstone in the ages. Was that what that vision was giving me as a little bitty boy out yonder? And I have went west, and there is the golden cross of the gospel shining down, has declared the signs from the heaven. Just exactly. Remember, the cross was in a panoramic, like a pyramid, also built. See? Could it be that it's the head part where it's ended and started from here and come up to the headship? Like the pyramid come up through Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, and then the capping of the stone? And there he draws another cornerstone and the ages and an arrow toward the cornerstone. Could it be that? If that it, where are we at? I hope it isn't, but it's got to be. It's got to be. Just remember, the ministries has to, they always dovetail just the same with the other one. It has to come, and God don't change. Think of it. Bite your conscience with your spiritual teeth and find out where we are at. What if it is? And you're still the way you are, then you just might as well walk. You're finished. Then that's outside. After the book was taken by the Lamb, the sixth seal is revealed, and all the seals, it's over. It could be. I hope it isn't. It could be. All right. And he writes, the sixth seal. Now, notice, when that is happening, he says that it's after the book is taken in heaven, when the sixth seal is revealed, is fulfilled. In the message, Time of Expectation and Preparation, preached on November 15, 2011, in La Florida, Santiago, Chile, it tells us, he divides it into three, the time, the expectation, and the preparation. And we took a piece from the time, which says, now the time. Notice, the time for these things and these signs in heaven began at the time of the forerunner of the second coming of Christ. In that time, those signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars began to be seen, and perplexity on earth. And currently, these signs are more prominent in heaven, in the sun, moon, and stars, and on earth, where mankind is perplexed because of all the things that will come, that will happen on earth. We have already identified the time. It is our time. In the message, or the book of quotations, on page 151, which is an excerpt of the message, trying to do God a service without being the will of God. And I have the booklet. So there he writes something paragraph 1347, it says. So say I, in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't you add one thing. Don't take. Put your own ideas in it. You just say what He said on those tapes. You just do exactly what the Lord God has commanded to do. Don't add to it. Don't take from it. And He repeated that. Don't make any interpretation. That is why He would say, put the tapes. That is why He said, place the videos. Our brother William said that. Why? Because just as it was forerun, and just as it was spoken, when it would be fulfilled, then the people of God would see that which was spoken. But if they started to add to it, to take away from it, or give their own interpretation, then when God came to fulfill that, then it would be a mess, and everyone with their own ideas, and so they would not see the fulfillment of that which was spoken. That is why He always said, put the tapes, only hear one word, don't take away from it, don't add to it, so that when God would be fulfilling that, then they could see it, they could receive it. Just believe it, and walk humble before the Lord your God, for we are nearing the going into the land. Don't take some new thing. They're flying everywhere, and there'll be more than that come. But don't take these new things. The Lord God had declared to you what is truth. Don't never start or try an organization. Don't try to build upon anything else. But stay humble before the Lord your God, for it looks like the gates may open into the promised land soon. And he writes there, above, walk humble before the Lord your God. Above that, he writes, there is a key for every door. Second coming of Christ. And below he writes, the promised land and the door. And he draws a little cornerstone there. And above, he draws a cornerstone and the little door there below. And he writes, the gates to the promised land. Revelation 4, 1. Then let us go in with the true singing and rejoicing when the bride and the groom take its place at the throne. And he draws a cornerstone and the ages and an arrow toward the cornerstone. And on the right side, a little cornerstone. He also had written there, come up hither, below that quote at the end. Take its place at the throne and there come up hither. The eternal age, he wrote that there. And there, this is where he writes, in the first dispensation, the doors opened at Jordan, and they crossed to the land. It is cut off there, but it is into the promised land. In the second dispensation, the doors opened on the day of Pentecost. Peter opened. He had the key. And they come into the baptismal waters and went into and here on the left side he makes a reference to that excerpt. He writes, first dispensation after 40 years it took them 5 years. Second dispensation. After 40 days, it took them 10 days. third dispensation. After 40 years, it will take us, and he wrote two question marks. And in the message, referring to that portion in the booklet, he writes, in the age of the cornerstone, in the dispensation of the kingdom, behind the veil, in the most holy place, in the spiritual temple, in his church. And he draws a cornerstone and the ages. Because there he, further below, all of that has to do with that excerpt. Because notice on 1348, there he tells us, the trumpet will sound, the dead shall rise first, then we'll be caught up with them, when the glory of God will be upon the earth. And he writes, in the most holy place, he'll hide the church away from the world. He won't even see it when it goes. Where does it say that they had to, that Moses put the veil so that they would not see the glory of God? So much so that the children of Israel in Exodus, but also look in Hebrews. Exodus 34 or 33 and on. Let us see 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 3. That of Exodus 34, verse 33. You can place there, for he drew a star of David. You can place it there. Second Corinthians 3. Second Corinthians 3, verse 6 says, who also had made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnations be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed it in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth inglorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. Now notice what he's showing here, so you may see that part there where he says, when the glory of God will be upon the earth. There was in Moses. Now notice that there he writes, in the most holy place. In other words, the glory, Brother Branham says there that it will be where? In the most holy place. There, beside 1348, he draws a cornerstone and the ages. And in the ages below, he writes, holy place. And above, the most holy place. And an arrow there toward the most holy place. Above there, on 1348, he also writes, resurrection and rapture. Now, we quickly saw the time. Now, he says, the expectation. In that message, he says, the expectation. So, let us take that part where he says, the expectation. The expectation. They are expectant of things to come, both good and bad. When they see problems among the nations, misunderstanding among nations, problems among nations, what is expected? A war among nations. And when they see internal problems, when a nation is divided within itself, what do they expect? A civil war. And when they see problems in their environment, earthquakes, tidal waves, tsunamis, what do you expect? Death and destruction. Serious problems are expected for mankind and serious diseases for the human race. But those things are in the scripture under the vials, or in the vials which contain the plagues of Revelation chapter 15, verse 1 to 9. And then those plagues are poured out upon the earth, as they were poured out upon the earth in the time of Moses, when God said to Moses what God was going to do. Moses spoke it to the people. He spoke it both to the Jews as to Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And then they happened. Because when God had them in Himself, they were the divine thought. When He revealed them to Moses, and He spoke them, it was the spoken word of God. It was, thus saith the Lord. And then those plagues would materialize. In the message, questions and answers of August 30th of 64 in the morning, he tells us on page 15, paragraph 65 to 74, it says, now the rain falls on the just and the unjust. The sun shines on the wicked and the good. The rain falls to ripen the crop. It ripens the wheat also. The same rain. The Holy Spirit can fall in a group of people and speak in tongues and make it exactly true, sprawl in amongst the people and make it prophesy and be exactly true. That's exactly right. Sometimes you can go to a witch or a medium and they can say something that's exactly right. Look at the witch of Endor to Saul. It could be exactly true. That still, isn't it? They are witches, speaking in tongues. I've seen devils speak in tongues and write in unknown tongues. That don't mean anything. But the real thing is that word again. Back to that word. And he draws the Star of David. And in the real thing, he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and the arrow toward the cornerstone. So, you can do these things without the Word. But when you get the Word, and it does it, then watch, it just exactly come to pass. Exactly the right thing. See? Then you're exactly in line. And there he draws a Star of David. Yes, the Holy Spirit uses these people as it's appointed by his own divine wisdom. But the first thing, now what? Let me just give you a little twister here just a minute. I'd say, how many has the Holy Ghost? All of you raised up your hand. I'd say, all right, I'll see if you have. The Bible said that they that had the Holy Ghost sighed and cried day and night for the abominations done in the city. Now, how many hands would go up? How many of you can't rest at night, so full of joy, the power of God, and so sad for the people that's lost, that day and night you weep and cry for the abominations? You won't see. Who would be that in the city? How many is that's in the church? That's what the Bible said the Holy Spirit evidence was. He told the sealing angel, now there he writes, Ezekiel 9, 1 to 9, and Revelation 7, 2 to 7, 7, 8 to 17, 14, 1 to 9, 11, 1 to 17. There we have the angels. Ezekiel 9, that's right. He said, take, go through the city. He is speaking about Ezekiel 9. Go through the city and set a mark upon those who sigh and cry for the abominations did in the city. The rest of them, let the destroying angel destroy them. No matter how much members they was and how many of the things they done, said, put a, three dots, and a man with an inkhorn rider dressed in white, which represented the Holy Spirit, come forth and put a mark upon all them that sighed and cried for the abominations done in the city. Now, you say, and watch what he said in there also. Slay utterly little children, old women, babies, kill them all. Little children? Yes. When Joshua entered the land of Canaan, he said, don't let one of them live. If it is a cute little baby, a little Amalekite or an Amorite, kill it. You remember, he'll grow up to be an Amalekite. He'll pollute the camp. And when those little things come back like that, disagreeing with the word of God, get rid of that thing. I don't care what denomination it belongs to. And he writes, at the entrance into the promised land. Amalekite equals everything contrary to the word. You say, well, they're good. I don't care how good a people they are. If they are contrary to that word, get the thing out of you. It's a growing little Amalekite. Looks cute, looks innocent. It looks like it's all right, but don't you have anything to do with. You stay away from it. Well, Brother Branham, I go down here because, well, I don't. You just remember, any Amalekite, anything that denies the word, stay away from it. Have nothing to do with it at all. How many believes that's the truth? Sure it is. See? Stay away from it. And our brother William writes there, stay away from whoever denies the word, who sigh and cry for the abominations that's did in the city. Where do you see that? I can show you 10,000 speaking in tongues to one that's really burdened for sin, that can't even pray an hour. But did you know the Bible said that mark only those who sighed and cried for the abominations in the city? How many ever read it? Sure, that was the Holy Spirit come forth to mark the people and said to the destroying angel, go forth and destroy everything that doesn't have that mark upon them. And the mark of God is the Holy Ghost, is the seal of God. And he writes, Revelation 7, verse 12, and Revelation 11, 3-7, and Daniel 10, verse 5, and 12, verse 6. In this message, he also tells us something very important here in the message. How can I overcome? I have it here in English, and I also have the one in Spanish. Look on page 18. The importance of believing in the Word. Notice here, which Joshua and Caleb did, because they were promised that they would obtain that promised land. And they did not look at the obstacles or anything, but instead, they believed the Word. That is why he said there, whoever denies the Word, they, let us see here, look, on page 18 it says, you know, Israel started out, I could say the same thing and bring it in here. They started out 2 million strong and ended up with 2 men. Right. They saw the works of God. They saw the manifestation of the Spirit. They saw the great mighty miracles being done there in Egypt and everything and started out. But it wasn't in their heart. They didn't overcome. They just come out. And Jesus said, your fathers did eat manna, and they perish in the wilderness. John 6:49, and are eternally dead. Every one of them is dead. That means eternal separation. Every one of them rotted in the wilderness. But there was 2 men, Joshua and Caleb. And he writes, Zerubbabel and Joshua, Moses and Elijah. And when it comes to the showdown, the obstacle was so great, till they looked like grasshoppers, side of them. Joshua screamed out with Caleb and said, we are more than able to do it. Why? God said so. And they were overcomers. They overcome. They was the ones that was privileged out of that whole great organization of people to take the real elected bride into the promised land. Joshua and Caleb in the front lines out there as the 2 generals led them right down to the river and crossed the river over into the promised land. Why? They believed the word. And he writes there the promised land in the book in English. There is a part here where I have to look at the translation. We will see it later on. Because I see, like, I didn't have a chance to put it in the translation of that paragraph 85 in English. In the Spanish translation, there is something there that we have to see that is, if it is exactly that translation. Because there are some words I do not understand there. But I didn't have time to. So we will see it later. Because notice, elected bride. He wrote down elected bride. Well, we'll see it later. And all that part there. We're learning. Even the messages in English, they have helped me a whole lot. Now, notice, he continues saying, Then Dathan raised up, and so did Korah, and they tried to say, this man is trying to make himself above all the rest of us. He's more holy than the rest of them. After God has truly vindicated the man, they said, we'll just start a group of people, and we'll make this, that, or the other, and we'll make our organization. We'll do the same thing that they have done in each age, and the same thing they have done at this time. And they died and perished. But those men had the word of the Lord, and they stayed with it. And they went over. Not he that starts, he that finishes. Many starts the race, but there's one finish it. There'll be many churches start, many groups of people. There'll be one group finish. That's the overcomers. That is us. You and I. Now notice the other part. He puts there preparation. And we took that small part. Preparation. The planet Earth is preparing for all these things to come. The preparation to fulfill these things. Notice, we find that the human beings have taken the oil out of the planet. And then the place where they take it out is left hollow. If you take something out of somewhere, out of the lower part of somewhere, it's normal for what is above to fall, because there was a hole left there. Like if you remove the columns out from under a bridge, what will happen to the bridge? It falls. It's the same for the earth. In many places where there was petroleum, it has become hollow, and those parts of the earth can easily sink. And beside that, there are other problems, volcanoes, earthquakes, and so forth, which have caused and are causing and will cause great problems to the human family. But they are already prophesied in the scripture for this time in which we have been given to live. In the message, the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride, on page 19, the Reverend William Branham tells us, page 19 it says, now watch, he came to be a redeemer. Is that right? What does redeem means? Bring back. Why didn't he get the priest? He never was up there, see? He had no representation. And he writes, representation. He came to redeem that which had fallen. In the fall, this got messed up with that girl. But God had her in his thinking before the foundation of the world. And he come to cleanse her. See? Then she had eternal life. See? Where the priest, what did it do to him? It sent him right back to his destination. He had nothing to begin, only intellectual learning. And he writes, intellectual learning. Now listen, friend. If the only thing you've got is just intellectual learning, you get something different from that. And you'll never be able to get it unless you get representation. That's the reason I believe you come from the east and west, north and south. The word living made manifest. Notice now how he makes his way known by his prophets. In the beginning, he has never changed it. Salvation, he justified a man, sanctified him, sent the Holy Ghost in fire, and burnt the sin out of him, and dwelt in him himself. He does the earth that he's got to use in a plan of redemption the same way. He repented and was baptized in water by Noah. Jesus come and sanctified it by dripping his blood upon it and claimed it. And in the new earth that's to come, it's to have a holy fire baptism to clean it from every devil, every germ, every sickness, everything that there is, and make it a new. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. You become a new person. He writes, sanctification dash claim. And here he also writes, a new heaven and earth. A new heaven and earth. Amen. Not just an old one patched up by joining church or trying to turn a new page. But you are a complete brand new unit. God takes the old man and burns him completely out with the Holy Ghost and fire. And he comes himself, sends down your representation. No man can come to me except my Father had drawn him. And he writes, representation. And all the Father has given me will come to me. You see it? Same plan, same way. The same thing he does with the individual. Notice, he does it with the earth. And he has done it with the earth. Now, our brother William continues to say, the earth is being prepared for the kingdom of the Messiah. And that is why these labor pains, which are all these environmental problems, because it's going to bring forth a new earth for the kingdom of the Messiah. In the message, Letting Off the Pressure, it tells us, on page 18, it says, now, Israel was a promised covenant people, God's people. They had been promised a land that was flowing with milk and honey. So they had never seen that land. Not a one of them ever been there. But they had a promise of it. They never been over there, see? They didn't know nothing about the land. But they were promised that land. And they come out of their slavery by the hand of God through His prophet and was sojourning, professing that they were pilgrims and strangers, and was going to a land that they never seen, or none of them had ever seen it. Think of it. So they come close to the borderline. There was a great warrior among them named Joshua. Joshua, and he writes HS, that is Holy Spirit. Joshua takes, means Jehovah Savior. And Joshua went over the Jordan, into the promised land, and come back with the evidence that it was a good land. Then he writes, Jordan and the Promised Land. Joshua entered first and brought the evidence. That is, he said that the land was good. And he draws a Star of David. They brought a bunch of grapes. It taken two men to pack. It was just exactly what God said it was. It was flowing in milk and honey. That should have made every one of them rejoice. Why? Joshua brought back the evidence of a land that nobody knew nothing about, that God had promised to give them. See? Because they were, had a promise to a land and was on their road to it. John chapter 5 says that the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and rise again in flesh. How? In flesh. That is, the voice that will call, the voice that called Lazarus, come forth, is the same voice of Archangel. And that same voice is the one that will transform us. Now, what is the promised land? What is the evidence of the promised land? Joshua brought the evidence back then that the land was good. Now, I don't know if something we talk about this morning was recorded. Today, in a little moment, later on, we will see if the audio came out good. Because we talk about two events that we have already mentioned, but the way in which God showed it to us there was something that had not been spoken. But since we were already short in time, and I had not finished studying yet, I did not have time to verify it there. But if it is good, we can hear it, so that you can see something there, which perhaps we have spoken, but in the way in which it was mentioned there, we had not spoken it. And I do not want to say something that he already gave us back then. I myself would have to see what was said, but it was something that has to do with the resurrection and transformation and with that new earth. Now, also notice here in the same message, the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride, on page 48, it tells us something there about what that city is. We are just making a short summary like this, a short introduction to this subject. But let us go to this part here. On page 48, it says, "Oh my! On this throne, on top of it, 1,500 miles high, the whole world will see the light of the world, Jesus, sitting on the throne on top of the world, top of the church, top of Mount Zion, which is 1,500 miles, half size of the United States, and raises plumb up till you can see him the world over. That city will be seen, 1,500 miles high, and all up and down here will be the redeemed." In other words, all of the ages up to those of the age of the cornerstone. There will be the houses of pure gold. There will be avenues and parks and gardens, and the river of life coming, trickling out from the throne. And he writes, river of life. Above he wrote, Mount Zion. And now on the side he writes, the river of life. And running down through little chasms and all over the terraces, and the tree of life will be blooming in every yard, and bear its fruit 12 times a year. A change fruit every month, and the kings of the earth shall come into it and bring their honor. And he also writes the tree of life, and he writes honor. And the leaves are for the healing of the nations, when the kings are living in peace out there. When they go out, they'll pick a tree, a leaf of like that, like the dove come back, that the wrath of God has been settled, and brought the holy leaf. he writes olive tree into the ark. So when the king leaves by bringing his glory into the bride's chamber here into the city, he'll hold a leaf to his neighbor king, and we're in peace forevermore. Amen. Healing of the nations. It's all settled. Then he writes, the bride's chamber equals they bring the glory there. One time we fought for one another's bloods, brother, and we've cherished and hollered and shot and burnt children, everything, but now there is peace, the healing. Not disease healing, it's all done. Healing of the nation. And he writes, national healing. Amen. City with the throne on top. Revelation 21:23. And they need no light, for the Lamb and the Lord God is the light thereof. Notice on page 61 in the book of the 70 weeks of Daniel. In Spanish would be 83 and 84, the one you have. Here he says, God came into the sanctuary that was to be anointed and was given over to him for the people to come to worship. So, to anoint not thy holy place, but to anoint the most holy place. In some pages here, on the back he writes, it is his church. And we notice that New Jerusalem is the most holy place. And the anointing will be upon the New Jerusalem that descends from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The anointing will be upon them. There he writes, the most holy place equals the New Jerusalem. Let us see if we can see that little part there. There's a place in the 70 weeks that it says, anoint the most holy. And he writes, or wrote on the side, the church bride. If you find it, we can read it to place it there. We have already read it. I didn't have it here to read it. It is where he says the scripture, and anoint the most holy, and there he writes. It is on the left side of this book. Look, here it is. 74 on this book, which is 85 and 86, all books in Spanish. English is 62. That's when that city will be anointed. That's when the New Jerusalem will be anointed. And he writes beside it, the bride. And all nations of the city over in Revelation 22 chapter, it says that the gate shall not be closed by night, because there will be no night there. And all the kings of the earth shall bring their honor and glory into this city. Its wall will be jasper and sardis stone, 12 manners of stones, and 12 gates shall be one solid pearl, one each gate. There shall be no need of the candle in there. There won't be no more sunlight, for the Lamb that's in the midst of the city shall be the light, and he shall lead his people into everlasting life. There will be two trees standing, one on either side the river, and they for the healing of the nations. And he writes, two trees equals two olives. That's that anointed one that will come, the holy city descending from God out of heaven, coming to the earth. And he writes, the bride. Now, notice, it continues saying here, city with the throne on top, I'm in the future home, page 48, Revelation 21, 23. And they need no light, for the Lamb and the Lord God is the light thereof. See? The Lord God is that pillar of fire that followed the children of Israel through the wilderness. And he is ascending up on the throne in that perfect kingdoms. When time, the kingdom that Jesus is to surrender to the Father, that God might be all and in all. Jesus sits upon his throne, and he writes, Gentile, as our Joseph. And the king is that light that will be on top of Mount Zion, and his holy light will flood the entire city. And he writes, Joseph on the throne. Now, our brother William continues saying here, the believers in Christ are also preparing themselves for the coming of the Lord, to receive the faith, the revelation to be transformed and raptured, and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. What are the believers in Christ preparing for? For the coming of the Lord. What for? To receive the faith, the revelation to be transformed. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to be transformed. And without faith, it is impossible to be taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And in this same message of the future home, it tells us on page 67, he tells us on this prayer he's making here to conclude this message, he is telling us, Lord Jesus, we recognize you here. You're our King. You identify yourself among us, and he writes, the King. We thank you for this presence. And Lord, you said, if you say to this mountain, be moved, don't doubt it, believe what you said will come to pass. He writes, Mark 11:16. You can have it. You can have what you've said. Then in obedience to this commandment, in obedience to the word of God, which cannot fail, we as your delegates from 1,500 miles square, like the city, we say to Satan, the defeated devil, your end is to be burned. We are the delegation from the city that's four square, the city where the Lamb is the light. We are the expressed attribute of God Almighty, who Jesus Christ has redeemed by His grace. Satan, come out and leave every sick person that's in here. In the name of Jesus Christ, holy hands that has been redeemed because they believed the word and are attributes of God's thought. Now, them hand is upon each other. You cannot hold them any longer. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. And there he writes, 1500 miles, the expressed attributes. And notice how he says there, we are your delegates. We are the delegation of that city, of that new city. We are the delegation from the city that's four square, because that is 15,000 miles by 15,000 miles. That is squared and 50,000 miles high. New heavens and new earth. That has been our subject for this study. And there's another little part that we had pending there. From 114 in the Book of Quotations. Paragraph 1007. But it's been years since I've come off the field. Four. About 5 years since I come off. And he writes, 5 years. What is it? What's done this? He left the evangelistic field. Has that been why that it was like in the beginning, in Genesis, God long-suffering? Has it been so long that God's long-suffering, the ministry constantly through tape and everything else, has come across the world to see if there is one more? But maybe that last one came in just recently. Has it been the iniquity that has been so long? If Jesus is the same, which He is, Hebrews 13:8, His message must be the same. His action must be the same. If the first and second pull is without question, is there a question in your mind about the first and second pull? Did it come to pass just like He said? Then, why question the third? See, why would you question it? The first two was identified by the Scripture. I proved to you this morning that the third is identified by the Scripture too. Didn't he say to him, but why there? And right away the angel tells him, it is not written in the Scriptures, when you pray, enter into your secret closet and pray to the Father, and He who hears you in secret will reward you openly? See? It is also scriptural. That is, the third pull is scriptural. Remember these seven peaks up there. There is not another peak beyond that. And he writes, west. It's on the continental divide. It goes right into the desert. From there on, eternity sets in. And he writes, the desert equals eternity. Seven peaks ride on the continental divide. That's right between right and wrong. And at the end of that, the third pool was the last pool of the range. And he writes, the seventh peak equals the third pool to go into eternity. And above he writes, the seven peaks equals seven mountains. The third pool equals seventh peak. And in 10:08, where he tells us that the seventh seal brings him back to earth. This is as far as we will have for today. But notice, everything there in the third pool, which is what is producing in each elect of God, producing that change, that regeneration, producing that change from within us, so that soon we obtain the promise of our transformation. We are at the right time. We are with the right people. We are with the right message. We are with the right messenger. From here, as he said, after the fulfillment of the tenth vision, there is nothing else. From here to heaven, to the house of our Heavenly Father, to the marriage supper of the Lamb. New heavens and new earth. Let us stand. And thus, we have our subject for this occasion. And the year is ending. We have already entered into the month of December. And we expect blessings of God in what remains of this year. And we are preparing ourselves to begin the new year, 2024. It's been, if we count from 2017, we would be entering, according to the God's calendar, made up of 360 days and 30 days a month, we then are already further ahead. But if we leave it like it is, we then will be entering into the seventh year. And if we counted from 2019, we will be entering into the fifth year. In other words, many things could be fulfilling already, and others are in the process of being fulfilled, fully or partially, going in a progressive way, because when Brother Branham fulfilled, or already had, or just before that, in the Book of Quotations, a writing of our Brother William, he visited paradise. In other words, something could be moving already and everything is fulfilled in a simple way. Because remember, that angel, just as he brought Brother Branham, notice he transported him all the way there and placed him there. And he showed him everything. For the angel, it was something normal because he was telling him, now look, now look, now look this, look, now look at that, look at this. And he knew everything. And that angel, is the one who is with us. And I think we already spoke a little bit about that, because things are always fulfilled in such a great simplicity that since it's so great, we begin to look for things to be extravagant in other ways, in other ways in which we can imagine them. But they are fulfilled so simple that sometimes we say, no, when I see him again, and we are always reminded of those words. When you see that prophet messenger of the seventh seal fulfill the prophecies containing the tenth vision, there you will see me again. Watch, because it's so simple that if we do not watch, we will overlook it. But he has never left us and he will never leave us. So, delegates of the New Jerusalem, of the City of God, continue onward, serving the Lord every day of our life, holding on to the word, to the message, because soon we will enter to the promised land of the new body, new heavens, and new earth. With us, leave with us immediately our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.